Morning. Well, it is, like Tom was saying, a privilege to be together because it is such a comfort when you're away and doing all sorts of things to know that you're not on your own, that there is a family of God there with me, with us. And that's a privilege. I'll be talking about the work of the mission in a little bit. But first, I'd like to open the scriptures with you, if that's okay. If it isn't, you can take a break and come back. But the question I was thinking about for this morning is, how relevant is our faith today? Or to say it another way, how is our faith relevant today? Because to have faith in the Lord isn't just for us, you know, so that we will go to heaven when we die. And yes, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, like we were talking earlier this morning, then we do, when we ask forgiveness for our sins through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. And we will be received into heaven when we die. And this interesting question, I think Thomas posing this interesting question, when you get to heaven, you'll be asked this question, so why do you think you can come here? Well, Lord, I've served you so many years, you know, been on the mission field for 34 years. Well, big deal. But like we saw at Tom and Ilana's, it's because of the man on the middle cross, because of what he said. Yes. And it's awesome, isn't it? It is awesome to know that it's true Jesus. But we could say that salvation is for us, inverted commas, but what about the Lord? What about the things that the Lord had in mind when he looked at us and when he actually got us into his family? Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I am always amazed when I hear this, read this scripture, that the Lord would actually look at our lives and that he has works prepared for us, so for us to walk in them. Not run, neither to sit and wait and see what the Lord's going to do, in all respect, but for us to walk in the things that the Lord has in mind for our lives. Have you and I discovered what the purpose is? What purpose does the Lord have for your life? And I think there's a challenge to look to the Lord, to how we can actually make the lessons from the pandemic and the things we've lived through, maybe last year, the year before. How can we make those lessons relevant now? Relevant for the Lord to complete his purposes in and through our lives. And then, of course, the first question is, who is Jesus to you? Some people would say, oh, he's my best friend. And I sure hope he is. But like we said this morning, don't bring him only down to that level. Because, yes, Jesus is my friend, but he's also Lord of all. He's also the one that on the cross could say, it is finished. Nothing more to do. And the amazing thing that he is actually standing in front of the throne now, interceding for us. That's huge, isn't it? So who is Jesus to you? Maybe you need to think again today. You know, Jesus, who are you? Magic dust over the problems of life? Doesn't work like that. That's why some people are so frustrated with their Christian life, because of all the ideas that we've got in our heads, because of the quick self-help 12-step books. I respect AA, by the way, But, you know, it's there's not a quick... Although, yes, the Lord does miracles sometimes very quick. But sometimes we need to work through things. The one who gave his life for us, that's Jesus. He's the one that could only complete in us and through us what the Lord has for us to do. So that's the first question. Who is he? Who is Jesus? Now, is it our ministry? Is it our gifting? Is it our calling? You know, this is... Oh, I've just been through some transition times in Mission Adullam. Was it my ministry? My calling? Or is it the Lord's? And have we laid down whatever we are and whatever we have at the Lord's feet? I see some kids here that are in school studying. Just be the best that you can be in whatever gifts you've got. Some people are so quick in, I don't know, maybe it's crafts or art, maybe it's math, or maybe it's languages. Anything can be used in the Lord's kingdom. Because you, peculiarly you, who you are, who I am, that's who the Lord wants to use. So then if we are in that place, does having our daily relationship with the Lord have an impact on our lives? Or does it make us different people? Do we do life different now we know the Lord? Or are we 007 Christianity? And, oh yeah, you know. Oh, people around you are swearing. I heard a very good answer to one of those things. People were swearing. Oi, you're insulting my friend. That's a clever one, isn't it? Or like I may have told you this, a very simple brother was actually having a Big Mac, and when he got his food, he sat down and he prayed. And a couple of teenagers had to walk over to him, snickering, and they said, "Cuh, do you pray for that? That's what they do in your village, isn't it?" They were really being very horrible, and he looked at them. He says, "Well," he says, "in my village, the pigs don't pray for their food, and the dogs don't pray for their food, but I pray for my food and thank my Father." Very practical. Very practical to be different. And it's easy to say, you know, "Oh, my life is not my own." But how do we actually work that out in walking with the Lord? Are we willing to go the second mile? Oh, that's the easy one, you see. The first mile, yeah, that's the second mile, that's easy. Well, how many of you are in the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth mile? Aren't they difficult when you have to go yet another one? Some of the people you live with, maybe, or some of the people you're reaching out to, you have to go another mile and another mile, however long it takes. And then Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and onwards a little bit. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Now this is very practical, and it actually involves our activities, our daily activities. It involves choices that you and I need to make. And people around us, they are crying out to see what will work. The latest fad or the latest trend in, I have enormous amount of echo. The latest trend, the latest fad, what's going to work? You know, that's why all these books are so famous. Yesterday I saw somebody that was very clever in how she was actually, this is a church leader, I won't say who it was, but who is very clever in using TikTok. Millions of followers. Are we followers of TikTok or are we followers of Jesus? And I was looking you up, American people. What was the concern, according to some of the investigations, you know, what do the American people wish for? What's the priority list? It says to be happy, to be healthy, to be wise. And then, of course, also comes the economic situation. Are these our priorities? What is priority number one in our lives? And I know it is very difficult to pray with an empty stomach. I shouldn't say that I know, because my experience has never been that empty pantry. But there are things that might be screaming in our faces that will take our attention away from spending time with the Lord. But does our relationship with the Lord, does our walk with the Lord actually have an impact on how we do life? It's very interesting. I'm reading Old Testament at the moment. And when I was reading Exodus chapter 4, you can do your own homework. I'm not munching that out for you. But when you read Exodus chapter 4, you actually see that Moses met the Lord. And when he met the Lord, God asks him, what have you got in your hand? And Moses answers him, I've got a rod. Or a staff, however you want to call it. I've got a rod. And then actually, when Moses gives himself over to doing the will of God, then you see later on in verse 20 that this rod, his rod, is called God's rod. I was shocked when I read that. I thought, how can we so despise our daily use, normal things? And we make the spiritual things so complicated that we rule out our normal things. Well, when you read chapter 4 in Exodus, I trust you'll be encouraged too, that the normal daily use things that we have at hand, in God's hand, can become God's rod, can become his whatever you have got. And may that be our experience. May it be our experience that the simple things that we have at hand on a daily basis, that they are useful and they, under God's guidance, become instruments that he can use. And then we will see that God's word is actually relevant for today, that it is relevant in the circumstances that we live in. And we are a church family. And like I said this morning, we didn't choose our siblings. But here we have the learning ground, the ground to learn and to grow, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, what about all the other priorities? The happiness and to be healthy, to be wise, the economic situation and so on. Well, where do we source those things? Happiness outside of God, is that real? Yes, it is. Is it lasting? No, it's not. No, it's not. That's when I was smoking this lovely Camel cigarette. I still like the smell. You still can't trust me. But when it was out and it was gone, well, didn't I crave for some more? The happiness that the world can give, yes, there can be interesting times, but it's not going to last. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13 says, happy is the man or the woman who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. There's happiness to be found in our relation with the Lord. And happiness, you make a study of these things. Happiness on all levels. on all levels, in normal life, in the things that we go through. And the Lord teaches us through, for instance, this scripture, that to be wise and gain understanding is to be found in Him. So if you're struggling with health, say, do a Bible study. See what the Bible says about it. You know, see what the Bible teaches me about the things that I need to get a grip on. Because if happiness only depends on me, I will be one sour, frustrated person. Like I was talking to somebody in Dallas in the airport, and turned out she was a single person like myself. And we were yakking away and so on. Yeah, she had to travel again and so on and so on. I said, isn't it funny? I said, because people say to me, oh, it must be lonely and difficult, you know, when you travel on your own. And she and I looked at each other in the eye and smiled. We're never alone. We're never alone. If you're willing to open up, to reach out to people, just to become a friend, you'll be never walk alone. But that depends on how we do life. If we allow Jesus' teachings to teach us normal life, if we allow the Lord to work in and through me, His grace, His strength, it's not sort of, oh dear, Finike, yeah, she can do this all right. No, it's not me on my own. It's the Lord and many vehicles that the Lord brings to help us as well. Provision, wealth, to have not anything lacking. Well, Hudson Taylor had an opinion, didn't he? God's work done God's way will never fail, lack God's supply. Doesn't that mean that I never get nervous? Yeah, I'm human. I do, and I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, because when I look back, hindsight should sometimes teach us something about God's faithfulness, about the way He walks with us. And it should help us to trust again, doesn't it? But this, of course, is a subject that has principles to it as well. You study it on your own. Tithing and giving. Oh, Finike, that's the cat in the hen house. Well, yeah. Have you ever been able to outgive God? Have you ever? And I can tell you, you can never outgive God. Never. And when we talk to the parents, say, of the children that come to Hesed, and some of them, at least half of them, are extremely poor people, we demand that they put in their 5 cents, whatever that means to them. That little, and they have nothing, do you want that little? Yes, I do. That's called co-responsibility, shared responsibility. And if the Lord has an opinion about the whole area of resources, because it's not just about money, it's about our time as well. It's easy to say, you know, oh Lord, all I have is yours. Is it? I was in prison, ladies' prison in this case. I don't visit ladies' prison often, but that time I did. And there was a woman who was so cold. She came from a very warm area in the country. And she had no visitors, so she had no way of getting warmer clothing. Now, and please, this is not all wonderful, Finike. You know, I miss it a lot as well. But this time, I didn't miss it. I took my coat off and I gave it to her. We don't outgive God. We are blessed if and when we can be part of what the Lord is doing. I was in England and there was a man, and he was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Can I say that? He wasn't. He was at the self-checkout, and he had 2 large cans of baked beans, the large ones, 2 of them. And he tried 1 card, denied. 1 card, denied, and by that time I'd paid for whatever I was buying. And then another card, denied. And he was going to try another one. And I said to him, machine doesn't like you, does it? Try that. Denied. I said, let me have a look. Maybe the machine likes me. So I stick my card in, put my PIN in, and he looks at me and says, you're not paying for my cans. I said, I just did. Just remember next time you see somebody that needs a hand, you reach out as well. And walked away. It is very simple to make a difference in this world, sometimes in situations that the Lord puts in front of you. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has situation put in front of her. I'm sure you have the same. Well, maybe have eyes open to see that. Because the Lord desires for us to be relevant in our walk with him in this world. I walked into church, and our church is on the second floor. There's a guy in the building who I'm trying to be friends with. So I'll give him a sweet and say, you know, to brighten up your day or whatever. And that morning I said to him, I said, oh, is there something I can pray for you? And he looks at me and says, no, I don't think so. All is good. I thought, oh dear, what a concept of prayer this man has. That the only time you talk to God is when you're in trouble. So I said to him, I said, isn't that great? So I'll thank the Lord that everything is good for you. Place to start. We're now on the grounds that whenever I come into church, he comes away from his little booth and he shakes hands with me. I've been able to give him a New Testament. I haven't asked him yet if he's reading it. I will. But there are ways in, I'm just giving some simple examples, where you and I can make an impact in our in the circumstances around us, in the people around us, have our faith be relevant. If you don't have a leaflet in your handbag or in your, I don't know where you guys should put that because your billfold is a bit small for, but still you could have one of those card size thingies with the scripture on them. If you have nothing on you, well then you're not going to be talking to like a taxi driver. Oh, I'm so concerned because my daughter needs a blood transfusion, and if I don't show up with enough money until such and such a time, they're not going to give it and she's probably going to die. What do you say to people like that? Oh, I don't talk to these Uber drivers. Well, maybe you should. I don't know. I can't tell you how the Lord wants to walk with you, because he said he has prepared things for you to do. But if you're not prepared for what the Lord's prepared, so at least you can have a mint in your handbag, ladies, and a little tract, or I don't know how the Lord leads you. But we need to be prepared to see how the Lord wants to make us make a difference in that world around us. Maybe I need to change my lifestyle to be relevant in this world today. Seek the Lord first. Make it my priority to spend time with the Lord first. We could do a Bible study on lifestyle. What's a lifestyle look for? What does it look like for Christians? Do a Bible study on exercise or healthy living. Bible has a lot to say about these things as well. No point praying for regarding your fatty liver or your health problems if you are having a Big Mac every evening. It's not going to work, is it? But the Lord is looking for you and me to be his hands and feet in the society where he's placed us. Now, it's easy as well to get in a Christian rut. The same routine every day. The same things, predictable, you know. I do A and then B and then C and then D. Well, is life always predictable? I think if Ashbury taught us anything, it taught us that what happens in the presence of the Lord isn't always predictable. Because they stopped and prayed for 2 weeks. Well, if I'm having a time with the Lord and the Spirit says to me, Phoenix, stay a bit longer. Oh Lord, I have to. And then we come with our big to-do list. Or can we actually listen to that small voice that says, hey, just stay for another few minutes. I'd love for you to stay. And sometimes I manage to actually do that and to stay quiet and to be in the presence of the Lord. And how precious that is. And sometimes I run and I go ahead with my day. We need to learn, I need to learn to know and to perceive what the Lord wants us to do. And then to be willing to put our other plans aside. Because if we're not willing to do it, then many things are not going to be happening maybe in the day that we are going through. We need to be ready to put things on the altar. We need to be ready to make space, make sacrifices. You know, when this fad was going on about the war room, I'm not going to ask anything and the hands here, but I don't know how many people cleared out a closet and put a chair in there. Okay, if that works for you, that's fine. That's fine. But we need to make space here in our hearts and in our minds and in our lifestyle to actually have time with the Lord. And sometimes we need to say, we have to be really honest and say, well, actually, Lord, I don't think my faith is relevant. I don't think my faith is relevant, maybe not even in my own life. My faith isn't relevant in my family. It's not relevant in my workplace. It's not relevant. It's not applicable to the circumstances that I live in. Doesn't have any impact on it. Well, then maybe receive that kick up a certain part this morning and say, Lord, I need to repent of that. I need to ask your forgiveness because you mean for my life to be having an impact on anything that I go through. Have we separated faith and life? The state and the church, you know, that was a big mistake, wasn't it? Well, we do the same sometimes. Maybe it's just me. It's like a family that was going to have Jesus for lunch. Since they knew that Jesus was coming, the best crockery was got out, you know, the table was set nicely. And, oh dear, they cooked a wonderful meal. Lovely, lovely meal. And everything was going really good. But oh dear, then Jesus asked to see the pantry and the laundry room. And then Jesus asked, could you take me up to the attic as well? I'd love to see your attic. What are the things we got stored up, stashed away, that we're not really willing to let go of? Or what are the things that we've got stored away? And yeah, oh dear, now it's overdate, oh, I have to throw it away. Well, maybe you could have dropped it off at the food bank a week before that. Didn't need to be thrown away. Jesus wants to be involved in all the bigger and the little deals that we have going on in our lives. So what are the areas in our lives that sometimes are outside of the reach of our faith? Is it our ways of dressing, how we are accustomed to spend our money, the habits that we have, the things that we watch, our time, our energy? And the challenge is to come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, will you go through the day with me and see actually where we could really make a difference? Yeah, and maybe you can't start talking to the particular person you think or that comes to your mind. You can start praying for them. You can start making eye contact with them and giving them a smile and acknowledging people. Like we were talking about acknowledging people that do some cleaning for you. Like when you're in one of those public toilets and the person that cleans them, you can walk up to them as well and say, hey, you know what? I really appreciate your job. They'll be stumped when you do that. I've done it. Oh, Phoenix, please don't. That's not true. It was the Lord telling me to reach out. Woman looks at me, said, yeah, I really appreciate what you do. It doesn't stink here, and you keep order, and that way I can actually come in here and use your facilities. I really appreciate your job, because if you weren't here, I don't know what this would look like. You spend 2 seconds and 3 sentences, and you made somebody's day. Oh, yeah, but I didn't testify of Christ. Well, didn't you? Maybe that was a beginning and somebody else can sow again and carry on from where you started. But we need to start somewhere. And the challenge is to start doing things. Just start doing things. Because sometimes we can be so polite and so, you know, reserved. Oh yes, but I can't. Well, did the Lord say that? Or is it your culture, your upbringing? I was on the motorway once. We were in a endless queue. I think we were there for 2 hours. And we were sat there, out the car, walk around, talk to people and so on. And when we moved again, I had the windows open. It was very nice weather in Holland. It doesn't happen often. And I was belting out a song with the thing that was playing on the radio. So when we stopped again a bit further on, this guy comes over to me and he looks at me. He says, do you believe? I said, yes, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? He said, yes, I do. And we had a lovely little conversation, encouraging one another. We need to be open to see all the opportunities that the Lord gives us. Sometimes it's giving our hands and our feet, adding those to faith, because there will be people who will never come to Jesus unless you and I move our feet and use what the Lord has given to us to use. And there will be a cost. We'll probably have to let go of certain things and make room for more of the Lord, spending time with him. And from that place of spending time with the Lord, we walk. And if our lives are going to have a lasting impact and not just a few years that we are here on earth, then we need to have our focus right. Is the gospel relevant for me? Is it for you? In your life, in your ministry, in your private life, in your family, in your church life? Well, to me it is, but it's not enough. I desire to go deeper into that intimate relationship with Jesus. Think about marriage. Just married people, oh, they're all excited, but they haven't met the stinky socks yet, or the toothpaste that was rolled up the wrong way. Things. And oh, I didn't know you didn't like that. Oh, I didn't know. Because as you go on, you discover things, yeah? In intimacy, in the relating to one another. When I spend time with Jesus, just to be quiet, I learn more of him. I learn more of the things that are important to him today in my circumstances, in my world, but also in his world. I remember one day we had a time of prayer for the persecuted church. And I thought, Lord, I can't go there. I can't go to Iran or somewhere else. But by faith, I can step into that cell and I can sit next to that woman who's just been beaten up and raped. I can, by faith, put an arm around her and ask you by the Holy Spirit to comfort her and to minister to her. And as you can see, it still moves me because it's very real. But to go there, you need to sit and you need to make time. Lord, the people that are fleeing, I forgot the tribe's name now, but there's a badly persecuted tribe in China, Muslims. Lord, may it make them run away, not just from persecution, but also from the faith that only brings them lies. Will you bring light to them? But to do that, we need to spend a little bit more time. Jesus, what's on your heart today? What would you like to share with me today? Where can I serve you today? And then I see things happening, like when I went into that cell, I think, Lord, can I challenge other people to do that as well? Don't not leave our brethren on their own. Some of you are missing that hasn't been here. Or you can come alongside in prayer for starters. Because the works that the Lord has prepared for us isn't just lifting bags and making huge succulent. I admire your faith, brother. I really do think that we actually did produce that yesterday. And to come before the Lord to say, Lord, I have no faith. Lord, I have little faith. Well, remember the woman with the two pennies? The boy with the two fishes and five loaves? The Lord's not going to ask you to give what you haven't got. But he will ask everything that you have got. And when we give everything that we have got, we're not going to lose. We might think so, but we don't. That boy had his fill as well. I'm sure he did. But then we can serve the Lord, follow him, follow his guidance, because it is in him and through him and for him that we actually serve him. So let's pray and ask the Lord to show us where we can be more relevant in whatever we live through in our society. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are relevant in my life, and you were and you will be, Lord. And Lord, it is with hesitance that we perhaps come before you now and say, Lord, you have prepared things beforehand for us to walk in, things that you desire to do in and through our lives by your strength and grace. And you know, Lord, if we have actually been useful tools in your hands, we ask, will you show us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, where we could be more relevant in our society, in our families, Lord, where our lives could have a different impact if only we dared let go of things or start practicing things that you've shown us long before. You know how to teach us and how to guide us, Lord, and we commit each other to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.